Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Prince William and Princess Kate just had their baby last night around 4 p.m. Central or Eastern time. 8 pounds, 6 ounces. And they're just calling him the Prince of Cambridge right now because they don't have a name for him, last they reported. And it was really cool because, you know, in America, we've totally, well, recently we really left it. Now, we do have some honor in some pockets of America. But the monarchy and the honor. And this is, people say, well, that's, you know, kings and queens and princes. What's up with that? Hello. That's the government that God set up. Jesus is a king.
That's right.
He set King David in place, and he came from the lineage of a king, King David, and he is a king. And so they had this official way that I was watching them report on, you know, waiting for the baby to be born, and It seems to be no empathy with the pain that the poor mother's going through right now. It's just right. Like, you imagine going through all that and somebody peeking in the window trying to take a picture. Close that curtain.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, so as soon as he was born, I think they waited about 4 hours before they were telling anybody. And the people were saying, I can't believe they waited. It's like, anyway. So all these people are gathered outside. They're waiting, and reporters from all around the world, and people are just, just pumped, pumped in a British way. It's real unique how they express themselves. And that's my peeps. Anyway,
that's your peeps.
So
they disowned you, you know.
Yeah, I know it. They really, yeah. You're tearing up the English language, son. Anyway, so they're hanging outside the door. So finally, they come outside and they have the yeoman or whatever come out and announce out loud and just shout out loud, you know, how the Prince of Cambridge has been born, which is the third in line for the throne. And then they come out and put an easel, the same golden eagle easel out, whatever it was. 31 years ago that Prince William's announcement was put on, the letter from the doctor and them saying that it's official, he's born, he's in good health. And everybody's just so excited. They're just so excited. They're like, oh, this is so great. This is the best thing. This hasn't happened. And they're talking and talking and talking about this exuberance. And it's pretty cool. It's a young couple. They did what was right. They got married. He's taken the responsibility, it looks like, going in the way of the second earth, yes, after his dad, William. And here we are now. But then you think, that's how it always was. You see, when a child was born to a king and a son was born to a king, and I know that today's society is changing everything, but when a son was born to a king, everybody knew that that was the next one in line. They knew that this, the one day, this young child, this infant, this young child would be king over us. And in the moment the child was born historically, and it seems even now, this honor was due this child. This major announcement was given, and the whole world is stirred because a king is born. And if you just, you push that off by pomp and circumstances, you're missing what God is saying and what he established, because there was a day. There was a day that a man and a woman did what was right before the Lord. And her name was Mary. And her husband's name was Joseph. And she was one day, as a young teenage girl, overshadowed by God's Spirit. And God's Spirit and Mary, all man, all woman, came together at that one moment and implanted in her womb a seed of a king. Of a king. Nobody really knew about it other than Mary and a few others, and all of heaven knew. And Satan was trying to find out, couldn't get to him. And all this happened because the enemy knew that one day this child that was born was going to be a king. And so they had to protect him. You know, they have security today around Prince William's son because people want to do harm to him. Well, God had angels around his son because King Herod and everybody, they knew that one day he would be king. And so God began to speak to them, give them strategies how to keep this king alive. But you know what? There was an announcement. All of heaven began to just proclaim that a king is born. Even shepherds were excited about it because angels appeared and says, "For unto you today," right? A child is born. And somebody says, "Just a child?" No, he's a king. He's in the lineage of a king. He's in the lineage of David. He's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to be over all, and all's going to be under him. People say, "Well, he's just a child." But see, the reason why they're focusing on the Prince of Cambridge today, because they understand what we've totally forgotten, the fact that monarchies in regards to kings, that he's going to be king, he's in the lineage of a king. But the difference is with this King Jesus is he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And an announcement was made. How do you honor him? How do you honor this announcement? How do you proclaim? How do you ooh and aah over this awesome reality of a king is born? Learn from what's taking place right now in England. Learn what's taking place. Begin to just soak on honor. Soak on respect. Soak on why would three magi come all the way across whatever following stars, dodging a king who's trying to bring destruction to this king, to offer gold, frankincense, and myrrh because to a baby, because the baby is a king. Mm-hmm. He's a king.
Yeah.
And the announcement put up on the easel, imagine, I was like, this is all of heaven proclaiming. It's just like a symbol of like us remembering that all of heaven proclaimed that for unto us a king was born, whose government, his government will be on his shoulders forever. Mm. Not just, you know, England's government, the kings and parliament or whatever. The government of mankind, of all creation, everything's going to be put at his feet. And God just began to stir my heart. He began to stir my heart in saying, oh, we've had a king that was born. Mm. I encourage you, watch the hoopla, watch the honor, watch the pomp and circumstance, watch everything that's taking place, and begin to say, God, help me to be a man and a woman of honor. Help me to give honor where honor is due. Help me to somehow, in this earthly sense of a prince, a king, a princess, earthly governments, help us somehow look up and realize that you were born a child, but you were born king, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That the title deed to earth, all of earth, is going to be given to you by the Creator, the Father, and every knee, every king that ever was on this earth, is going to bow before you because you are king. You know, John, I was just speaking about an assault, which is just very appropriate, you know, to understand how to wait. The dangers of not waiting and waiting on the Lord.
We were talking about Saul, and Saul was, there was a period of time in I believe it was in 1st or 2nd Samuel, 1st, where...
It's in 3rd Samuel.
3rd Samuel.
I don't think our listeners are like, no, is that the... That's the point? Okay.
Well, it was time for sacrifice, and only Samuel was, you know, authorized by the Lord to offer a sacrifice.
And Samuel was the priest.
Yeah, he was a priest. I mean, he's waiting, you know, do things in order the way God says. And King Saul was getting ready for battle. Mm-hmm. And he was getting anxious because the time was coming. And
he kept on trying to save himself, protect himself. I mean, it's right. always about self.
Right from the very beginning. Yeah. Right from the very beginning. Right. He never got really dealt with, you know, because of self-preservation. He was hiding in the luggage when God was calling him to be king.
Because there was no wait. There was no waiting period. He went straight from looking for his father's donkeys. Then we'll go King James right there, to all of a sudden finding out that he, with no waiting period.
No waiting. Which means no process, right?
No process.
And so he's always been on a rush, thinking about himself here. Mm-hmm. And he was thinking about self-preservation. And what are these people going to, what are these, the soldiers going to think about me? This is not going to be good. And so he begins to hurry past God's timing, God's protocol, God's authority.
He didn't think that the minister was moving fast enough.
Right.
He didn't think that the pastor was moving fast enough. You know, he didn't think Samuel was.
That'll preach.
Yeah. He's like, all of a sudden now you're hearing the one who taught you how to hear. Now you're hearing more than they're hearing.
Right.
And because all of a sudden you got yourself a little authority here. Mm-hmm. And remember, he was the one that laid hands on Saul and told him what the Lord said, that you're going to be
the king. Right. And the thing is that he actually wasn't hearing. He was hearing for himself.
Yeah.
It's a big difference when you're hearing.
You can't hear. No. You can't hear when it's like that. And people say you can't discern for others and yourself at the same time. You got to let yourself go to be able to hear from God.
That's it. So with that, he decides that he's going to throw up this sacrifice and burn the sacrifice.
Because he was waiting on Samuel, you're saying, to be able to get there, the minister, to preach his message for everybody. And he said, like, get something, conjure something, quick, get the Bible
paste,
out.
Cut and paste, cut and paste.
You cut and paste, get
Google,
some
Google,
stuff.
Google, there's a scripture there somewhere.
That's not a vision, that's a graven image. You didn't hear from God.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
And so he's putting this whole ministry together in a hurry because he knows that what's really holding this thing together is God, not his kingship.
Yeah.
He knows. That's why I take a priority over everything. Mm. So you know, all of a sudden he's going to take that role.
Takes upon himself, and just as he's burning up the sacrifice, Samuel walks on the scene right on time. You know, God's never too late. He's always right on time.
That's right.
Might not be your time, but he's always on his time, God's time. And Samuel says, what are you doing? What are you doing? And so Saul goes into this, you know, poor, you can't even say repentance. It was just a poor, woe is me, sorry.
Well, it's sort of like being called. I mean, being called, it's you know, it's totally different.
Well, the Bible says that godly sorrow works repentance, but some people are just sorrowful that they just got caught. Yeah,
right.
He just got caught.
Right.
And so he's, you know, going through the motions here, and he's clinging on to Samuel's robe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the robe rips.
Right.
And Samuel prophesies, today the kingdom has been torn from you.
Mm-hmm.
And that alone should have caused Saul
to
rip his own clothing and mourning and be in sackcloth and start repenting.
But he stayed in his own mind, his own agenda, and he immediately kicked into the next promotional mode, self-promotion mode. Right?
Yes. Samuel, can you come and show the men that you're with me? Can you pray for us?
Can you stand with me on the stage while I talk to everybody? And how many ministers do an injustice by just standing there when they should have, the word's been delivered, this is it.
That's it.
And he wept. I mean, Samuel wept. It was tragedy.
Yeah.
You know, and
well, why was he weeping? Was he weeping for himself or was he weeping for God? I mean,
Samuel. Samuel wept for this. It was a disaster.
Yes.
Because they rejected God's form of government and they wanted a king.
Mm.
And so God gave him the king, which ended up being Saul. Mm. And yeah, so he didn't wait. He didn't wait. And it was the fear. I mean, this guy's building statues to himself, big ones to be able to, you know, freak people out and go, well, he's a big man. And the bigger the statue, the smaller the man.
No doubt.
And that so goes in alignment because you think about when Jesus had a multitude around him. Because what happened at that point, like you're saying with Saul, that all Israel, including the army, was gathered up. But all of a sudden they began to leave. And this is a big test for you when your family looks at you because you're standing with God and they go, we're going to leave you. Or your employees say, listen, we're not going to be a Christian business around here, you know, and they're going to leave you.
Mm-hmm.
or your constituents, Mr. Politician, Mrs. Politician, said they're going to leave you, or pastor, or apostle, or prophet, whatever, you know, your ministry over with people, and they say, listen, this is how it's going to be. We're going to be out of here, and they start to leave. Listen, they're God's. Every man is accountable to God. They're not yours. And so don't leave God trying to make them accountable to you. Just watch what happens. And so they all started leaving. That's when he started panicking. He took over the priestly duties, and he all of a sudden became Pastor Saul.
Oh.
You know, Pastor Saul. And, or P.S. By the way, my king rules over. That's what the end of the letter was, P.S. But Jesus was walking, and his ministry came to a point where, you know, the multitude is following him. And so he says, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't know what he's saying at this point, but he comes out and he begins to say the deep things of God is like, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me.
Right.
I mean, not only was he not concerned about losing the crowd, but he wanted to make sure they heard thoroughly the reality so they can enter into the kingdom of God. And they just said, this is hard. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. And they started leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is the test. When you speak truth and people start to walk away, if you speak God's truth, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. Mm-hmm. Understand that when Samuel was being rejected as the leader, he thought, he was in his tent. He was upset about it. He was crying before the Lord. And the Lord says, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me.
Get up.
Yeah, and Jesus says, listen, that when people reject you, they don't only reject you, but they reject me, and they reject the one that sent me. And so you got to get yourself out of that picture here and realize that when you tell people the truths of God in love, you're doing your best to deliver it, not mess up the message, and quite often we can. But he told them, and they begin to walk away, just like what happened in regards to, you know, Saul. They're walking away. But the difference is Jesus didn't do what Saul did. He just honored their decision. Mm. That's just a power. I'll tell you something really freeing.
Mm.
Give people a choice and honor their decision, you know, and pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be really surprised. It's a lot easier to walk with those who agree.
That's right.
And then, of course, you know, Peter's looking at him, and his disciples are saying, you know, everybody's going, you know. And Jesus doesn't say, please don't leave. Oh, my goodness.
Please stop.
Oh, my goodness. No.
You want another chair? Can we get you?
Right. We got a new PowerPoint now, the thing going. And
we'll tell
them
only two songs.
And we got an app. It's an app. We got an app. Look at the new moose on the leaders. Anyway, he looked at Peter and he says, well, what about you? Are you guys going to leave me talking to his disciples?
Mm.
And Peter said, where else can I go? Because you have the keys to eternal life. And that is your test. It's going to be your test. When you're waiting on God, and Saul was supposed to wait for God to show up in the spirit of what he's doing through Samuel, and by him waiting for Samuel, he was waiting on God. And
there's no fear of God there. You're not running away. There's just no fear of God because you have all the answers.
You know, and quite often, as we talked about yesterday under incubating faith, that you can know what you desire. Hey, for example, Saul wanted everybody to hang around, but he can jump ahead of a burning passion and permission and peace from God. Mm-hmm. And he just begins to speak something out and do something, and it wasn't the right timing yet. And it would need to wait for him to arrive. Well, you can want to be somewhere. You can just know in your heart, I'm supposed to be there. That's where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be at this workplace. I'm supposed to be at this ministry. I'm supposed to be doing this and doing that. But the whole thing is, you're going to have to wait on God. You're going to have to wait for things to unfold in your unique life and your unique situation and your unique journey in life, and be encouraged in that, and know that those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength.
Mm-hmm.
They will renew their strength. This is what this Isaiah chapter 40 says. Isaiah 40.
Isaiah 44, 41?
Yeah.
God will renew our strength. He will renew our strength. When we wait upon the Lord, he will renew our strength and bring us to the point of total dependency.
Right.
And trust in him.
So waiting on the Lord, and that's what we're talking about, is just learning to wait on the Lord. And Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, they that wait upon the Lord, think about it. They that wait upon the Lord Saul didn't want to wait. Mm. The people didn't even want to wait for Jesus to explain that his eating his flesh and drinking his blood meant obeying him and eating his teachings and walking them out. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Are you weak? Are you tired? Maybe you need to wait. Mm. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You're going from a weak place to a strong place to a flying place. Mm. And they shall run. Think about that. Mm. And not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.